All right, grab a seat, my friends, and I hope you bring your Bible. I hope you bring a journal. I hope you bring a pen because you remember what you write. And so I want to encourage you to write down some of the things that you hear this evening so that you remember them and are blessed by them. You're going to see a graphic up here on the screen that says regeneration for students, walking the steps towards healing. Healing is in all caps. And it's bright green, H-E-A-L-I-N-G. And so we have seven steps in regeneration for students, and we're covering one step per month this year, teaching you kind of the principles behind this program that has been so influential in the life of this church, but never been an opportunity for teenagers to go through. And hopefully it won't be long until we have a program just for high school students. But for now, you get a sneak preview of everything we would teach in that program, because we're going to teach you each step throughout the year at Shoreline this year, H-E-A-L-I-N-G. So let me review for you where we've been. If this is your first time here, each teaching week after week or month after month really builds on the one before. And overall, before we review steps one and steps two, let me just tell you, regeneration at Watermark, the tagline is for people with hurts, habits, and hangups. So if there's things that have hurt you in your life or habits you can't shake or just, things that keep hanging you up in life, you know, through your faith and things like that, you can go to regeneration and focus on those issues. But it's not just for the most messed up people in the church. Regeneration is for everybody. Frankly, regeneration is what you do every week at small group. Regeneration is what we do every Sunday. Regeneration is the story of this book, of the Bible. The Bible is all about regeneration. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, is about regeneration. That was spoken to a man named Nicodemus who asked Jesus in John chapter 3, how do I have eternal life? And Jesus said, you have to be born again, or you have to be regenerated. You have to have a whole new life given to you by God. And so regeneration is just step by step showing you how a person can experience the new life that God offers you. And so we're taking you month by month, step by step, how you can experience the fullness of new life that God offers to you, so that at the end of the day, you can be sure, just like Nicodemus, that you have eternal life. So back in September, we hit step one, the letter H, help. I can't do this life on my own. We are broken and powerless to heal on our own. We admit that we desperately need help. We talked about brokenness being everywhere, including our own life. We talked about how sin is the source of brokenness. And if there's sin inside your heart and my heart and every human heart, then we can't be the source of healing. So we talked about how the start of healing is help from something outside of ourselves. And then last month, we talked about step two, the letter E in the word healing, entirely trust God. If step one is I can't, step two is God can. And so believing that a powerful and loving God exists, we turn our lives completely over to him. And we encouraged you to come to Jesus, all you who are burdened and weary, and he promises to give you rest. The invitation is come to me, Jesus says. Not some religion, not some program, not a better version of yourself, but come to a real person, a God named Jesus Christ. And the guest list, the people that are invited to come to him, that's everybody, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and the promise of Jesus that when you come to him, he will give you rest and he will give you healing. And so we covered those things last month. So tonight is step three, and here's what step three says, the letter A, assess the situation. We courageously and thoroughly examine our lives and invite others to walk with us. You don't have to write all that down. It'll come back up later, but that is what we're covering tonight. So to set up where we're going, I wanna ask you guys, how many people in the room, just go ahead and like hold them up, have an iPhone, all right, hold it up. Now, keep them up in the air if you've upgraded to iOS 12. Okay, many of you, like more than half of the room. I have done that. Do you wanna know what one of the most annoying features of iOS 12 is? It's kind of buried in there. You can put your phones down now. Is when you go into the settings in general, have you seen this? The screen time app? Okay, so feel free to ignore me for a second and find screen time in your general settings and be horrified. Because when you go to screen time, it tells you how many minutes or hours you have your phone unlocked and you're looking at it each day. And then underneath this like horrifying number of you just wasted your life today. Congratulations, here's a gold star. It tells you what specific apps you are wasting your time on. And so if you just want a good dose of shame and regret, hop on to screen time. Thank you, iOS 12. Well, I was curious when I upgraded after a few days. I opened up my screen time, and on this occasion, my number one app for participation on my phone life was the Apple News app. So just goes to show you how cool I am. And so I spend a lot of time. I have to actually discipline myself to stop reading like Smithsonian Magazine. It's interesting to me. And so I want to share with you something, though, that I found recently that I think, man, this, I'm going to tell you one story, and this is it. This is going to set up everything we're going to share tonight, and this is going to be step three in regeneration for students. And this was an article. I'm going to put the article, the headline, up here on the screen. And so here's how the headline read. There are still thousands of tons of unexploded bombs in Germany, left over from World War II. So more than 70 years after being dropped in Europe, the weapons are still inflicting harm and mayhem. And this was a long article, but it was fascinating. And so I'm not gonna read it to you, but some pictures will come up on the screen, and I'm gonna just tell you some facts from this article. So during World War II, really millions of tons of bombs were dropped. And so you can see these are, you know, British and American planes just unloading these bombs over Germany. And about 10% of these bombs that were dropped failed to explode. So they crashed into the ground, they dug underneath the surface, but they didn't blow up, they just sat there. And every year in Germany, get this, over 2,000 tons of explosives are uncovered. There's a picture of one being pulled out of the ground. And so before any construction project is undertaken, before anything is built or remodeled anywhere in Germany, the ground has to be certified as cleared of unexploded bombs. And so buried bombs, like dangerous, lethal weapons, are hidden out of sight, undetected, underneath. They could be anywhere you're walking in Germany. They are a daily threat because as time goes on, I mean, this was 70 years ago, the mechanisms that trigger these devices, they're wearing out and they're deteriorating. And so bombs are going off and towns are being evacuated and people are being killed because of these buried bombs. So why do I introduce you to this news story and show you some of these images? And we're going to come back to it. Here's why. Is because from all of us have a past. You're old enough now. You're in high school. You have a past. You have this past summer. You have last school year. You have eighth grade. You have seventh grade. You have sixth grade. You have fifth grade. You have third grade. You have the first time you were exposed to something that no child should be exposed to. Everyone has a past. And so everyone, I think, has some form of buried bombs in their life. Just like the current situation in Germany, the events of our own past have this potential to show up in our present, to show up in our future, and to inflict harm and mayhem in our lives. Like, let me give you some examples. Our past produces things like this word, resentments, which are just things that make us upset, that when we think about them, it upsets us. That's a resentment, all right? Our past can produce fears for our future, like something happened and we're afraid it will happen again, and that's a hindrance. It cripples us as we move forward. Our past has produced broken relationships, people that we avoid or people that we hope we don't hear from or see ever again. It's produced guilt and shame, regrets. There's wounds from our past that still haven't healed. There are habits that we picked up in our past. There are personality traits and weaknesses that have developed because of our past. And all of these things are things that we try day to day to keep buried. You didn't live today with many of those things that I described on the surface, but because you're a human and because I'm a human and I know they're in my life and I know enough of you all, I know they're in all of our lives. Everyone has buried bombs in their life. So tonight, I want to show you with step three how to clear your life of buried bombs. Whatever things you just thought of, that are buried in your life from your past. I want to show you how to clear your life of those. Because as you're building your life, like as you're creating a reputation and you're opening up opportunities and you're pursuing plans for the future and you're building relationships, you want to know that underneath the surface, there's not a bomb that could go off any minute. And so as you're building a new life in Christ, you've got to do the work of disarming the buried bombs, the sinful patterns, the unhealed hurts, the idols that have cropped up from your past. So here's what we're going to look at. This is an overview, and we're just going to briefly reflect on these things. We're not going to just dive in to one scripture tonight, but we're going to be in several different places, New and Old Testament, in God's Word. So write down these scripture references, and you can come back to them. But we're going to see that healthy people disarm buried bombs by doing these things, by digging deep and digging everywhere, by bringing in a bomb squad, and they do this today before they build. So let's talk about this first point. They'll be back up on the screen in a second if you're trying to write. Healthy people disarm buried bombs by digging deep and digging everywhere. Digging deep and digging everywhere. In Regen, we call this the inventory step. You take an inventory and you dig into your past, you dig into your life, and you leave no stone unturned. Let me show you another image from this article that we were reading. This is showing like what the missiles actually looked like, what the detonation mechanism, how it worked. But then down at the bottom, you can see as the missile, the 1,000-pound bomb hit the ground, it would go down and then lodge. The average depth is 14 feet underground as they're finding these things. So 14 feet beneath the surface. So anytime there's any construction project, here's a picture of a work site. They have to clear the whole area and then go section by section, digging like 20 feet, just to be sure, into the ground to make sure that there's no bombs there. And they have to do this very carefully. Because a bomb could be anywhere, they have to dig everywhere. Because a bomb could be anywhere, they have to dig everywhere. And this portion of this step is inspired by Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, which will be on the screen, and it says this. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts." Like, I don't know my own heart. I don't understand my own thoughts. He's asking God, hey, search me, help me understand, help me see what's going on inside my heart. Sometimes I don't even understand myself, is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. And then he says in verse 24 of Psalm 139, "Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." I don't want to walk through life with buried bombs that go off and produce death in my life and in the relationships around me. I want to walk the path of everlasting life. And so this inventory process, I'm going to show you for a second exactly what it looks like, and I'm going to invite you to do it with me. It is a long, hard process. This is one of the most difficult steps in regeneration. And so what you do is you pray Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and then you take out this document that they give you, and it's a template, and when it starts, it's all empty. And then you go through section by section. They give you six sections to cover. And the first one is resentments. And you write down who or what gives you unpleasant thoughts from your past. And then what was the cause of those unpleasant thoughts? And then what was your response to that cause in that moment and since that moment? And then what was the nature of that response? So describe it. And then what idol is revealed by that response and its nature? Okay, so you do that for several different categories. Let me zoom in, and I'm going to show you. This is my actual inventory from regeneration. One of the things, the categories of things that I resent are crushes that I had in junior high and high school. And I wrote down their names: Allison M, Nessa E, Ashley S, Brittany B. All right, those are the who or what. The cause was this: I had strong feelings towards a series of girls who didn't like me back. I was friend-zoned through 6th through 12th grade, and these girls often liked or dated other guys and talked to me about it. I know, right? And like, you can kind of like groan and giggle about it and be like, sucks to be you, but for real, it sucked to be me. And even as an adult, when I went through this process and I said, God, search me and know me, test my anxious thoughts and like see if there's any unpleasant way in me, This is one of the things, as I prayed that and then sat down with this sheet, that God revealed to me, like, you still don't feel good about this, and you resent being rejected when you were a kid. And so what was my response? Well, I tried to mature because I was a late bloomer. I actually wore shoe lifts, like I put pads in my shoes to try to be taller to impress these girls, I guess. I worked hard to get their attention, to be noticed and liked. I hated myself and I felt sadness and I went through seasons of loneliness and self-pity. So what was the nature of this response? What were the words that described it? I was insecure. I was faithless, right? Like I was putting my faith in the feelings that I got from another human being. And I wasn't trusting God, so I was worldly. They were painful. I was desperate. I was sad, lonely, and unguided. That was the nature of my response. And it revealed to me that I idolized my heart and my internal desires. I idolized my feelings, my reputation, my social status. Like part of me wanted these girls to like me just for the way that it would appear to others that I had those people like me. So my social status was an idol. My experiences, I wanted to experience what other people experienced, and I idolized having an experience and also the affirmation that came from being liked. So this is what inventory is like. And mine is right here. And if anybody wants to see it afterwards, you can come forward and I'll show you any page on it, but it's 15 pages long. The next section is this. We'll just click through them real quick. It's a section called fears. And then there's a section called harms to me. So who or what hurt me, how they hurt me, how I responded. Then there's harms by me, things that I did. Then there's a whole category on sexual experiences and immorality and who or what like led me out of God's plan for my sexuality. And then there's a whole section called recovery issues, just kind of other general issues that brought me to realize my need and see my brokenness in my life. And so this is a long, hard process. This isn't something that you sit down and do in a half hour or that you do in an hour. This took a number of weeks, dedicating time each day to pray and to think through and reflect and to go back to like ugly, painful emotions and seasons in your life, to go down like they do in Germany and to dig deep and dig everywhere and try to uncover anything that could be a buried bomb in your life. And so this is a lot. An inventory is overwhelming. I want to tell you one more thing before we move on to kind of the second observation I have for you this evening is this. I'm going to give you a website. It's abbreviated, tiny URL. You've seen this, .com/buriedbombs. Everybody write it down, put it in your phone. If you go to that, tinyurl.com/buriedbombs, especially on your desktop or your laptop, a Word document will instantly be downloaded to your computer, to your downloads folder, and you can put it wherever you want. But that Word document is these six sections with these headings across the top, these five headings, and it's blank. And you can just start typing in as you work through your own inventory. I want to invite you to do this because if you want to be a healthy person, you will disarm the buried bombs that are in your life by digging deep and digging everywhere and taking a fearless and thorough inventory of your life. And like I said, that is a lot. Mine was 15 pages, yours might be more, yours might be less. But when you get there, what do? And here's the second thing healthy people do to disarm the buried bombs in their life. They bring in a bomb squad. You see, you can't disarm these bombs. When I find all this stuff, I don't know what to do with it. You need a squad. And it seems like this word squad, yeah, here's a group of guys that are in Germany disarming these bombs. It seems like the word squad has kind of become popularized in your culture. I mean, anytime, you know, you're at a concert, you're posting pictures, I'm with my squad. Or, you know, you're at the beach with your squad and you're squatting up at the sports events and your homecoming, you're using the word squad to describe that group. But guys, a squad is much more than a group of friends you just hang out with and occasionally take pictures and edit them and share them with others. That's not actually what a squad is. If you look up squad in the dictionary, here's the original definition of a squad. It's a small number of soldiers. You see, you need a bomb squad. You don't need a group of people that know how to take a good picture and that are just fun to hang out with. man, you need a small number of soldiers. And the definition says, you know, commonly 10 privates, a staff sergeant, and a corporal, the smallest military unit. You need a small group of people, listen to me, that you can trust, that know God, love God, and you know they have the love of God for you, that are gonna fight for you and your health, and that you can fight for them. That's a squad. A squad is a group of people who will be a small number of soldiers in your life, fighting for your health, fighting for you to believe truth, for you to heal, for you to have peace in your life. And so how do you begin to develop this squad? How do you work together with your squad? This, in Region, we call this confession. And it's really simple. All you do is you take your inventory and you share it with your squad. And then you let them respond with the love and truth of God. So I would encourage you, if you're trying to assemble a bomb squad for yourself, that you would include at least one of your small group leaders. By the way, this is why we put you in small groups, is so that you built in have this squad. And that's why you may have experienced this. We're encouraging your small group leaders to even split you up into smaller groups, so you can have the smallest military unit of soldiers in your life fighting for you. But all you do is you do your inventory, you bring it to them, and you share it with them. You confess to them. Here's who or what caused this. Here's the cause. Here's the response. Here's the nature of my response. Here's the idols I'm identifying. Help me turn to God. Point me to him. How does God see me? How does he respond to this? And what does he have for me? And you ask them to fight for you in that way. This step, this confession step, bringing in a bomb squad, it comes from several places in the scripture. I'm gonna show you James 5:16. Please jot these down. James 5:16 says it so clearly, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, so that you can remove and disarm the bombs. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Proverbs 28:13 says that people who conceal their sins, who keep the bombs buried, will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. And 1 John 1:7 says clearly, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, not buried in darkness, then we have fellowship with each other. That is true relationships, really being known and really loving and caring for one another, not this surface level stuff that most of us live in day to day. And then in these relationships, the love of God and the power of God and the life of God flows through the body of Christ into our life. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The love of God through the people of God, pointing us to the truth of God, that is the thing that helps us understand and see and experience the cleansing, disarming power of God. And so, lastly, as we're moving towards closing, healthy people disarm buried bombs by digging deep and digging everywhere. They take this fearless inventory to figure out what bombs are beneath the surface. Then they bring in a bomb squad, and they confess and they share their inventory with others and ask them to respond with truth. And they do this today before they build. The article closed with this story of this guy named Paul Dietrich. They're talking to Paul. He lives in Germany, and he had this house. And he started remodeling and adding on to his house. And he was doing all the work himself with a few friends. And Paul spent 10 years building his dream home. And he finally had everything done. And Paul took his dog and he went out for a walk. And he was maybe a half a mile away from his house when he heard a noise that sounded like an explosion. And he saw smoke rising above the horizon. So he and his dog turned back and they started to walk back towards their house. And the closer Paul and his dog got to his house, the more it appeared that the smoke was coming from the vicinity of his home. And when they rounded the corner and got to their house, this is what Paul saw. A buried bomb had detonated beneath the surface. And all that he had built was destroyed. And guys, if you come in here on Monday nights, when this room and the same seats that you're sitting in are filled with adults who have come in for our regeneration ministry, you're gonna hear and experience and see, or you would, story after story of adults who thought their bombs would stay buried and never go off. And then they went off. And they're so desperate They're showing up here every Monday night for a year and a half to find hope and healing. And we want that for you now, so you don't have to experience that then. And so we do it today. Guys, right now, when you're in high school, you're building your life. You're building relationships. You're building your beliefs, your reputation. You're starting to line up a list of accomplishments. You're creating opportunities for your future. And listen to me, guys, the longer you build without addressing your buried bombs, the more there is to be broken. And I want to make sure you get this point, so I want to give you a real-life example. I'm going to welcome my friend Daniel Catani up here to the stage. Daniel is a former student who grew up part of his high school years right here at Watermark, and I want you to hear about some of the buried bombs in his life, and then we'll get you out of here. So Daniel, take it away.
Hey, guys. My name is Daniel Catani. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, control, lust, and anger. Hey guys, I love that y'all know that. That's amazing. So I became a Christian in high school through Watermark and started dating a Christian girl named Megan at the end of high school. I was sitting in the same seats, different building, but it was in the same exact place just a few years ago. We dated through college and got really involved in ministry, coming back to serve on Watermark trips, which many of you guys were actually on. And I also led a small group of high school boys in a ministry back in Arkansas. So when I graduated college, I was engaged to Megan and got a job working with the junior high team at Watermark. It was awesome. Everything was going great. I couldn't have asked for more, but I had some buried stuff that was about to blow up everything that was built on top of it. So when I was going through a class called Merge to get ready for marriage, I felt God calling me to share with Megan, my bosses, and with trusted people about what I'd been hiding beneath the surface. I confessed a history of sexual sin that included me cheating on Megan a handful of times and breaking my commitment and calling to walk in purity. On the one hand, I was the laughing, happy, innocent, and faithful servant within our community, but in the dark was a lustful, deceitful wreck. I had to have some of the hardest conversations in my life while confessing to Megan, her parents, and all my friends who had grown to know my mask and not the real me. The broken trust ended up costing me a lot. All in a week, Megan and I learned that honoring her parents would look like postponing our wedding to an indefinite date. And 4 days later, I found out that I would no longer be leading in the junior high ministry. This crushed me. It was truly like a bomb that had went off in my life. It blew up on me and caused a lot of pain for a lot of people that I loved. This was the climax of where my sin led me, but it could all be traced back to deeper roots. Right after I confessed, I began attending Regeneration and worked through the same steps we're learning about this year in Shoreline. When I got to inventory, I discovered that my unfaithfulness was only a side effect of deeper hurts inside of me and a lack of trust in God. My response, some of the things it valued was control, seeking approval from women, and gratifying the desires of my flesh at the expense of other people. But God wasn't done with me. While there was a big explosion, the body of Christ helped heal me and clean up the mess that I had made for myself. Megan is such a tangible picture of grace. She's now my wife and my helper and my greatest friend. But she's such a tangible picture of grace because she forgave me and she doesn't hold my failure over my head. And that is how Christ sees me, that even while I was dead in my trespasses, he died for me. God didn't despise who I was. He delighted in me and wanted to help me learn what was making me so sick on the inside. He loved me too much to let me stay the same. So I want to encourage you guys to take a leap of faith and dig deep, leave nothing untouched, and take an inventory of your life and confess before you start building and building and building. It was the hardest thing that I've ever done, but that's where I found life. So it should be on the screen. It's Psalm 32. It says, "For when I kept silent," is verse 3, "for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away." Guys, that was me. I was dead inside. I was a dead man walking. But right before it, I love this. Right before that, the verse says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm no longer defined by the sins of my past. God turned my mess into a message. I pray that you will let him do the same in your life. My name is Daniel, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, control, lust, and anger. Thank you, guys.
Guys, Daniel and I want you to learn this lesson now so that there's not destruction in the future. And God's grace will be available for you in the future. But Daniel would tell you, take advantage of it now. Don't wait until there's more consequences and more mess to be cleaned up. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7 say this, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today." And his voice is saying that he loves you, that he died for you, not some cleaned up version for you, but you and all the buried bombs beneath the surface. And he wants you to invite him to search you and to know you and to test you and to show you the bombs that are there. And then he wants you to confess that to others because he wants you to experience his love and redemption through the body of Christ. And he wants people to point you towards his truth so that you can know him more intimately and experience his hope and healing. Listen to his voice today. Learn the principles of regeneration today. Apply them every day. This isn't regeneration for Daniel, for me, for any of you. It's not a one and done project, like you take the step and then you never look back and you don't take the step again. No, there are 7 steps or 12 steps or however many there are that you walk every day. Like I said at the very beginning, regeneration is the story of the whole Bible. This is a way of life, and we're trying to introduce it to you now. Show you these principles and invite you to walk this way every day. Take an inventory of what's going on in your heart beneath the surface. Confess to others what's going on and walk in truth in life. Everybody I meet that's in regeneration or been through it, when they find out I work with high school students, they say, "Oh, I wish I would have had this. I wish I would have known this when I was in high school." And here's what I got to tell you guys. If you're in this room or you're listening to this online, now you know. Now you know. Right now at this point in your life, here's how to clear your life of buried bombs. Healthy people disarm buried bombs by digging deep and digging everywhere. They take an inventory by bringing in a bomb squad, and they do it today before they build. So step 3 is this: assess the situation. We courageously and thoroughly examine our lives, and then we invite others who know Christ to walk with us. Let me pray. Well, Lord, I pray that everybody in this room didn't just hear a noise coming off this stage tonight. They heard you calling to them, inviting them to healing and hope and redemption and regeneration through the steps of taking an inventory and confessing it to others. I pray that you would help them see how this is a path to lead them to eternal life. And I pray that as they walk that path, all who choose to do it in faith and obedience, that ultimately they would find and experience you in the way that you created them to. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, guys.